The real voyage of new discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. So often you hear people say like, oh, like I've lived here forever, and people come from somewhere else to see whatever your landmark is or whatever, and you live in that town and you don't do it.
When I was in college and I didn't have a lot of money, I had a friend who was so much into museums, and I was taking an art class. And I was like, hey, do you want to go to the museum? And he was like, oh, God, I would love to go with you. And we went and we had so much fun. And it made me fall in love with LA in ways that people who live in LA like sometimes don't get to.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Interracial Couple Podcast.
Where it's not all black and white. My name is Sarah.
And I am Matthew.
On this week's podcast, we are going to talk about traveling.
For those who follow our podcast, I started a family very, very young. I have children who are now grown. And throughout a lot of their childhood, I did not have very much money. And other families in our schools where my kids went would go on vacations. And we didn't go on vacations. And at a certain point, it started to actually really weigh pretty heavily on me. And then this is kind of like a silly little simple thing, but I decided at one point, wait, I really want to take my kids to the top of Mount Whitney. Mount Whitney is 14,500 feet above sea level. It's the tallest mountain in the contiguous 48 states of the United States of America. And for basically almost nothing, we were able to get permits. I think it was $5 each or something like that. And we all got to go and have this experience of being on the highest peak in the lower 48 and be able to see miles and miles out into like Nevada and all up the, you know, Pacific Crest Trail. And, you know, it also kind of was a wake up call for me that I can make these amazing travel experiences without going more than, you know, in that case, that was a couple hundred miles from where I lived.
Yeah.
And I think we'll probably dig into that a little bit on, you know, when we bring up the monthly challenge from the Lover's Journal, but that travel doesn't necessarily mean getting on an airplane or going to another country or whatever. The travel can be, you know, like I felt like I traveled when, granted, we were living in Kenya, so kind of like traveling, but we were living there with our house, and I wanted to go climb Mount Kenya. So I literally put my backpack on and I walked out our front door and walked like over 100 miles in the direction of where I was going. And that literally cost me nothing. I asked people if I could spend the night in their compound because I wasn't, you know, going to, you know, pay for a place to sleep. So like even that, even just walking, you know, it's pretty, you know, there's a lot that one can do without money. It's really important.
There's a challenge in the Lover's Journal. Monthly challenge number 11, to be a tourist together in your own town. And when we put this challenge in, we were very conscious about people not being like, we don't have the money to do it. So there are things in everyone's town. Like last year we lived in, it's not a huge town where we lived, but we did a lot of things where we went on picnics. We visited family. We just did stuff that did not cost us money.
Well, we went to the crater, right? I mean, there was a volcanic crater, which, you know, it's a big hill, you know, but like, but it was a beautiful walk to get, you know, we walked, it was an all day walk. It was wonderful.
Yeah. And one time we chose to go to another park, which was like, you know, took us all afternoon to get there. Remember?
Oh yeah. We went to like that big mansion or whatever. Yeah. It was like a famous mansion that was owned by some colonialist. And I think so often you hear people say like, oh, like I've lived here forever, and people come from somewhere else to see whatever your landmark is or whatever, and you live in that town and you don't do it. Like, I mean, we live in wine country right now. You've still never gone wine tasting.
It's still the pandemic, but you gotta say something about it. Like, I'm sure people who live here have gone to wine tasting. I've been here for what?
Almost a year.
I have not been to like one winery.
We haven't been to like the De Young Museum. We haven't been to Jack London's estates. Like there are things that people
A friend of mine also like told me like the best bakery in the world is like close to you.
It's true. 20 minutes away.
And literally every time I talk to her, she's like, did you go to the bakery? I'm like, haven't yet. You know,
and so that's a baker that when it when I was a kid, I remember when it opened up, and now it's become so renowned that if you're there like after 10 o'clock, there's nothing left to buy. It's all sold out, but yet we still haven't been. So we wanted to talk about traveling as a couple, traveling as an interracial couple, traveling as a couple separately,
traveling because that's solo,
something that we've also done quite a bit is like we have different things that light a fire in our souls when it comes to travel. Like I climbed to the top of Mount Kenya. Guess who didn't come? I went and spent 3 days in Las Ventanas wilderness backpacking. And guess who didn't come?
I did not come. I stayed home and I had such an amazing time.
She was thrilled to be without me.
I was so thrilled. I had such an amazing time at home. And the thing is also knowing like things I don't like to do. And it's okay if my partner likes to do some things. And in the beginning of our relationship, you had a hard time a little bit when I said like, I am not going camping. I am not climbing mountains. Like, it's just not my thing.
And it did. It made me a little bit sad because it was one of the very few criteria that when I was imagining who I would spend the rest of my life with, I was like, I want someone that like wants to be adventurous and the camping and backpacking with me. That was something that was important. And guess what? I didn't get.
None of that interests me. But it was so nice because afterwards I was like, but you get to do that with your friends that you like.
Yeah, I've got friends that I want to do that with. And so there was a little bit of like, we do so much together. And I think it's also important when we talk about traveling as a couple, sometimes traveling as a couple means traveling separately. So that way we're not compromising the things that are really important to us. Like, since you don't want to go, you know, backpacking, if that meant I never got to go backpacking, that wouldn't be healthy for our relationship.
No.
And so far, there hasn't been anything that you've wanted to do. You've traveled quite a bit without me. But there's never been anything yet that you have wanted to do that I'm like, I'm not doing that. But let's just say, for example, you liked cruises.
I do.
You would be going on cruises by yourself.
I am going to go on a cruise.
Great.
And when you said you're not going on a cruise, I called my friend and I was like, hey, are you interested in doing a cruise? And she was like, I've been dreaming about going on a cruise.
And I've been dreaming about
not
going on a cruise.
So my friend and I, at some point, we're going to go on a cruise.
And guess what I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be sleeping outside with bears. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be cold somewhere in the mountains in a sleeping bag.
And I'll be drinking my ties and overlooking the ocean.
And you know what? We're both going to be so happy.
We are going to be so happy. Because my idea of what vacation looks is very different from yours.
Well, no, they're just places. It's kind of like the vesica, you know, the vesica Pisces, that geometric form where you've got like two circles that cross over. And we have this little area in the middle where those two circles intersect. That we definitely do not, or where we definitely see it together. And then there are these areas that we don't. And the question is just how big is that vesica section in the middle and how small it is. And for some people, like, it's really, really similar and great. Then you get to travel all sorts of times. But even in that place where like, you know what, I really want to do something and my partner really doesn't want to do it, that shouldn't be a reason not to do it if you have the opportunity.
Yeah, we're planning a trip that's really long and we have not gone on a car ride or a long trip together.
Well, I mean, except for like that we moved to Kenya together, for example.
We haven't traveled in a car together for miles and we're doing almost 10,000 miles.
Yeah, we're going to do like at least an 8,000 mile road trip across the US and Canada.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, I don't know what's going to happen.
It's all going to be perfect. But referencing last week's podcast, there might be some mistakes that might be made and we might either learn from it or encourage each other or criticize each other for the things that we don't like. We'll let you know how that goes.
And even in like organizing the trip, there are things that you want to see and places, mostly it's like places I want to go. Because I haven't traveled across the country and this has been like my dream trip. That you're just like, I've been there. done that.
No, there's no place that I actually, I don't think there's any place that I feel that way about, except for like the interstates. If you were to be like, let's drive on the I-5. I'd be like, you know what? If this is a road trip, why don't we like avoid the I-5? Maybe we'll avoid the I-80.
I don't even know what those are.
Yeah. Well, you know what the I-5 is, and you know that if you were on a road trip, you would be like, let's take Highway 1 or even maybe 101, but the I-5 through the Central Valley, like there's a lot of that. The United States is a very big place. But other than that, I'm pretty excited to like explore this and also explore it with you. And for someone who said you don't ever want to camp, we're actually bringing a tent so that we can, you know, sleep along the way.
This is one of those things, like, when you are in an interracial relationship with a white dude, like slowly, slowly you start doing, I guess people say shit white people do, because literally, I don't believe that.
Like eating salad for dinner?
Yeah.
Who eats salad for dinner tonight?
Me. And now who's going to be camping this summer? Me.
Yeah.
You know, so this is kind of like what?
Oh, what? But you know what? Like, sometimes we go out for drinks, and guess who sometimes has like fruity drinks?
You.
Me. Because I'm also in an interracial relationship. I am a white guy who is engaged to a black woman, and you actually drink whiskey straight when I drink whiskey straight. And when you drink fruity drinks, there are definitely times where I partake.
I know. And some of the things that I'm starting to like do, I think I'll be embarrassed to talk to them, to talk about those things to my black friends. Like, if you're listening to this, don't tell me I'm drinking whiskey, I am going camping, I'm eating salad for dinner. These are all things I said I was not going to do. It's just kind of like, it starts to rub on you, you know? I don't know if it's because you like to do those things and I want to please you, but I don't know. I guess it's just what happens.
You are going to be such a good wife doing things because it pleases me.
Oh my God. Shut up.
And shall we take a brief little moment here to reference our sponsor? The Lover's Journal is a wonderful guided journal for couples that has 52 weekly prompts plus over 12, I think there's 13 monthly challenges, and plenty of room to write other thoughts. It's a wonderful companion on the journey of a relationship that any two or more people are on. Meaning, like, if you're a throuple, like, literally, this would work for a throuple probably fantastically.
Yeah, but I think they would need to get three.
You'd probably want to get each have your own.
Yeah. And if you're a couple, you should get two.
Two is great. Though we do have some people who have said they've gotten one and they just actually do it together, and they actually kind of like just each kind of like one person writes, or they kind of like take turns, which, you know, which is kind of cool. We thought like, oh, that would be sad, but people are really enjoying like sharing one. So it turns out that works really well too. But if you haven't yet seen The Lover's Journal or you're interested in knowing more, check out theloversjournal.com. And if you use the code podcast15, on top of all the other, like, you know, buy one, get discount on the second one offers on the website, you can also use podcast15 and get an extra 15% off your order. And when you do get your Lover's Journal, make sure to take a picture and tag us on Instagram at Journal for Lovers. And also any questions or thoughts or anything you want to share. Like, we get these like notes from people that are just so heartwarming.
Oh my God. Like, yeah.
Really, really, really special. Actually, someone said it's like, oh, just the other day we got a message. We're taking Sarah and Matthew with us on this journey we're doing together. And I was like, that's super sweet. A little creepy maybe, but not like, but really kind of cool because it's been meaning that much to them. So make sure when you go to the website, use podcast 15 for an additional 15% off anything you order on the site. And as always, let us know how it goes with your Lover's Journal journey.
Yeah. So back to traveling. Over the years, we've done solo travels apart, like where I've been gone for months.
Or I've been gone.
Oh, you've been gone. And every time, like, I just felt like that, it has been so important for us as a couple because we get to miss each other.
It's true. Yeah. And you know what? At some point, I just want to say, like, if we ever got to a point where we didn't miss each other, then it would actually also be really good because then we had necessary time away. It hasn't happened yet.
No.
I've definitely missed you each time. Though, you know what's kind of funny?
What?
I generally, if I'm the one who goes, I'm not a big misser of people, which sometimes like hurts people's feelings who I'm really close to, but I'm not a big misser of people. But like the 2 or 3 days before the end of any kind of distance from like family or anything, like even like we're going to go see my aunt and uncle this year, like this summer on our trip, and I don't really miss them. But I know that like the 2 or 3 days before we get there, I'm going to really, really miss them. And it's like that with you too. Like the last time, granted, when you were gone, I really missed you. That particularly when you're gone for like 2 months. Oh, that was a long time. But when I was gone, it was great. I was having so much fun or whatever. And then those last couple of days, like, I just can't wait to get home to see you again.
I know. And then I remember when I was gone and I came back and it was kind of awkward. I was like, literally kind of felt like we were dating again. We went out to dinner and I was just like sitting there and like, I don't know what to do.
Where do I put my hands? Do I put them on my lap? Do I put them in my pockets?
It was like
fidget.
Yeah. It was so awkward. It was so giggly, like, hi, you know?
How are you doing?
I know. It was like, you know, even when we kind of like had sex for the first time after I was gone for a while, like it was just like awkward, you know?
But kind of, well, awkward, yes. It was a little bit, but there was also... Do you think so? I'm gonna like totally like take this on a 90 degree turn here. That like awkwardness was that actually any more awkward than when we first started sleeping together, or is it just that you've gotten so used to like actually being really in sync and everything kind of going wonderfully that feeling was like that was awkward, whereas that was just kind of like a reacquaintance time. I'm curious.
I don't know. I think maybe because like when we're together and I haven't been gone for 2 months, it's like, you know, we know the last time we had sex. And so when we kind of, yeah, we're in sync, you know, there isn't like, I don't know. We know, like, it's still like, I want to have sex. But when I'm gone, it just kind of felt like it was like new. Like, I don't know. Is this the time? Is it now?
She just touched my leg under the table, by the way, for anyone watching.
Oh, my God. You could have, like, let that go.
I could have, but I was distracted, and I was worried I was going to lose my train of thought, and I wanted to blame you for my train of thought rather than take responsibility for it.
But don't you remember this? Was it not awkward for you?
Awkward. I don't know if awkward is the exact word I would use, but were there all sorts of like questions about, am I going to be as good for her as I like to be? Like, have I forgotten anything? Have I lost any of my magic? There's a lot of, I think there were probably some questions for sure. I don't know if awkward is the word I would use, but it definitely was like memorable in that it was not in the normal flow of everyday life.
Yeah.
But 2 months is a long time because I don't know if I, because we've been gone for anywhere from like 10 days to 3 weeks quite more frequently. And I don't remember, but actually maybe those also, maybe there is also that time of like that kind of re-intro, as it were, where you're like, oh, like,
Recently, I think it happens. Yeah, 2 months was a long time, but recently you went camping with your friend. And I came to pick you up and I just remember like getting dressed like nice to come pick you up. I was like, what am I doing? It was like kind of cute because it's like, it almost kind of felt like I was going on a date. And I was like, I'm just picking Matthew up from camping. Like it was 3 days of not seeing you. And I just think like those moments when we spend apart are like so important for a relationship. Like I showed up. I think your friend was like, I don't think he has ever seen me looking so nice. Like, I wore, like, my new pants. And I was like, what am I? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, looking at myself in the mirror, doing, like, makeup. I was like, on every day, like, if I'm to pick you up tomorrow and you haven't left, like, I would not put on, like, makeup to come see you. Like, it's, I don't put on makeup, like, on a, you know, every day. Not something that would occur. But when you're gone, I put a little bit of effort.
Yeah.
In how I want to look. So.
Okay, so we're not at month 11 yet in the Lover's Journal for doing, like, being a tourist in our own town, but, and we're leaving in 6 weeks, so I don't know if we're going to have a chance to do that, but I think that that's just a really fun thing to bring in to life, this kind of, you know, this, that adventurous spirit, because I think also, you know, like, when you've been in a relationship for a long time, and particularly, like, if you, when there is, like, you know, stress or pressure of work or family or all these other things, that, you know, that then we're also putting a whole lot of, like, weight on the importance of, oh, like, the getaway or whatever, as opposed to kind of, like, you know, having these little pieces wherever we can get them, you know?
Yeah.
And that, I think, can also really be a really important part of, like, a bigger picture.
I was about to ask, like, if you have done, like, exploring your own city. Except, like, I did it with you in Akuru. I haven't done it with any other partner that I've been with. Oh, actually, that is not true. I went to the museum, and when I was in France with an ex-boyfriend, and I hope he's not listening to this because it was terrible. like, what he wanted to do was not what I wanted to do. And so I guess, like, that trip did not end up so good for me. But was when I was, what I was gonna go with this was, like, when I was in college and I didn't have a lot of money, I had a friend who was, like, was so much into museums, and I was taking an art class, and I was like, hey, do you want to go to the museum? And he was like, oh God, I would love to go with you. And we went and we had so much fun. And his thing was like, do you want to go to all the museums in LA taking public transportation? It was one of the nicest years, and it made me fall in love with LA in ways that people who live in LA, like, sometimes don't get to, like, you know, most people who live in LA complain, like, it's huge, you know. And I just really loved living in the city because I went to every single museum. We took public transportation and it was cheap. We packed sandwiches. Like, we spent zero money. I was broke. He was broke. But every Sunday we met at the train station, and we took the train, we took the buses, and most of the time, sometimes we spend a lot of time, you know, on the bus or on the train. And it was one of the most memorable years of, like, doing that.
And, you know, when you say, like, a lot of time, I feel like when you're in your own town, you feel like, oh, let's get there to the destination. When you're on vacation and you're like, oh, we have to go to the airport, and then we have to fly someplace, and we have to rent our car, and then we have to drive for 2 hours to get to this place we want to go to. That drive, or if you're an American and you're in Europe and you're like, oh, you have to go take the train from here to there, and you think, oh, like, that's travel time, but it's totally okay to spend however much time you need to spend on the train or on the, you know, on the underground getting around London or whatever. Like, that's okay. But somehow doing it in your own town isn't, unless that's, like, a part of your travel, is, like, getting to know, being a tourist in your own town.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So I really want to kind of encourage that for anyone. Like, hey, if you can get away, great. Like, God bless you. It's also, it's a challenging time for some people. It's always a challenging time for other people. But to say, hey, you know what? Like, maybe I can just do this little piece. And I'm actually hoping we can go spend a day, because I heard that by the end of this month, they're closing a Alexander Calder and Pablo Picasso exhibit at the De Young Museum, which I have never been to, and neither have you. So, I'm going to kind of put that bee in this bonnet and see if we can make that happen before it goes away at the end of the month.
So are we going to make it a date, or are we just going to, like, put on our shoes and go? Or, well, make it a big deal, like, today we're going to be tourists in our own city.
Maybe we need to take the train down to Marin and then take the ferry across to San Francisco and take, like, the 3 hours that would take on public transportation to get there, just because. I don't know. We'll see. We'll keep you posted. Now that we've said everything there is to say about travel, we're going to, Oh, you know what? There was one thing that I did want to share, actually.
What did you want to share?
I wanted to share the lovely quote for that particular challenge. And that was, the real voyage of new discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. And I think for some people, whether it's a time in their life or wherever, like whatever situation anyone might have been born into that might make sort of traditional traveling more difficult, that the real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes. Marcel Proust said that. Pretty smart guy. And I think that's just a really important piece to bring into like our week this week, and also as we're going to go into the summertime in the Northern Hemisphere, and whatever new trip you may be able to take, whether it's a trip to the supermarket, or whether it's a trip to the other side of the world or across a country, whether it's small or large, to actually show up with new eyes in any of our travels.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Take care. Bye.